Now, item number 16, classifying three species of king crab to combat illegal, unreported, or unregulated fisheries, IUU. This is a briefing and also a public hearing, and there was no public input on item number 15. So, Deputy Chief, it's your turn again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This briefing's related to a proposal to add three additional species of king crab to the department's shellfish classification and rule in order to address illegal seafood importation problems that we're seeing. Illegal, unreported, or unregulated fisheries, or IUU, it's a global concern. I know Commissioner Mankin is very familiar with IUU fishing, given his history with NOAA. It threatens ocean ecosystems and sustainable fisheries. It most certainly creates an unfair playing field because IUU products often come from fisheries lacking the same conservation measures that we impose on our U.S. fishermen. And IUU fishing violates conservation measures such as quotas, bycatch limits, many of which are established under international agreements. And please sort of focus on this last element and keep it in mind as I work through this. IUU fishing also undermines domestic and international markets. The Russian king crab fishery is considered to contribute significantly to the IUU problem. And one of the species harvested in that fishery, the red king crab, is listed by NOAA as at risk. What may come as a surprise, it surprised me, is that 79 to 88% of the Russian king crab, Russian crab entering the U.S. flow through Washington state ports. I can't tell you what proportion of that 80% is from legal harvest or otherwise, but evidence exists that our state is a potential safe haven for the IUU component of that fishery. There's an example of a seizure of Russian origin crab made by our federal partners where the value was $4.1 million, and when it was sold at auction, the people that it was seized from purchased it back at that price. So this is the part where you might be asking yourself, why should Washington state care about a plundered fishery from another nation? I could point out that with the passage of I-1401, the Animal Trafficking Act, Washington already has a global view when it comes to wildlife protection, and that might be enough for many. But this issue cuts closer to home than I-1401. Failing to control the importation of illegally harvested crab from Russia directly and negatively affects the seafood marketplace and the interests of Washington-based commercial businesses.
Deputy Chief, just a quick question. Is there a middleman in this? I mean, for the illegal part. So if the Russian trawlers or whatever get the crab, do they bring it directly into port and sell it, or do they transfer it to a U.S. flagged and then they bring it into port? Or?
It's very, very complicated, but oftentimes it's being shipped. It moves through a number of countries in some cases. A lot of crab move through South Korea, and then they come directly into the U.S., into a U.S. port via shipping containers.
Do they utilize brokers?
They do.
Do those brokers, do you know the brokers that have a history of doing this in a non-legal way?
So this is, I don't care if the guy's watching TVW. Russia started to crack down on this issue. They arrested an individual that they suspected of being at the forefront of significant crab thefts from Russia, being sort of the kingpin of their IUU crab problem. And he was convicted and thrown in prison. At least, maybe I'm assuming there was due process. And he had a medical issue, and they let him out of prison with a promise that he would stay in the country. And he absconded to the U.S., and he has a business in Washington State. I'll leave it at that. Russia still has warrants out for this individual's apprehension. So I think everybody knows, particularly if they're a commercial fisherman sitting behind me, Washington fishing interests rely on a number of fisheries to make ends meet, to include Alaska fisheries, to include the Alaska king crab fishery, in order to maintain their businesses here at home. I mean, we all know where Sig Hansen's home port is. So, according to members of the Bering Sea Crab Association, this issue is estimated resulted in an estimated $600 million loss in crab-related revenue and tax since 2000. So, a glut of imported illegal crab in the marketplace impacts our Alaska fleet, our businesses in Washington that rely on that resource, and also trade in that resource legitimately in this state. And it also impacts our commercial Dungeness crab fishery. So the impact is on the seafood marketplace in general. And somewhere here, I have letters of support from the Bering Sea Crabbers Association, as well as the North Pacific Crab Association, that I'd like to approach the bench with.
Yeah, Mike, have you been able to track this through? And I might not want to name a name, but have you been able to track this product through any particular restaurant chains?
Mr. Vice Chair, my preference would be to come back sometime in the future and talk to everybody about our findings.
Perfect. Thank you.
So our regulatory authority is aligned with classification of species and rule. The IUU king crab directly competes with the legitimate business, as I mentioned. The current shellfish classification list does not include three species of king crab, there's not much that I can do about these illegal importations. Or I should say, there's a lot more I could do if they were classified. The king crab species that I'm asking the commission to consider classifying: red king crab, blue, and brown.
Will we have to do that?
So here's the effect. By adding three species of king crab to the current classification, brokers who currently conduct business in Washington State would be required to obtain a wholesale fish dealer's license, maintain and produce records for inspection by Fish and Wildlife Police. Shippers and storage facilities won't be required to be licensed, but they will be required to produce records associated with the origin of the crab. And these records are already maintained. However, access to that information, it can't be compelled for inspection purposes unless there's a classified species identified. I don't think too many folks are aware of that nuance. We spend a lot of time in the marketplace, and there's the assumption that if you trade in seafood, you have to maintain records. Well, again, it's tied to classification. And if we're going to get engaged in taking on large financial interests, I don't want to get into a legal debate with attorneys. We want to be successful. a number of the seafood brokers, shippers, cold storages dealing in king crab are already licensed, though. I might point that out due to their involvement in trading or storing other species that are classified that we do regulate. We also have something in our wild futures bill that would strengthen the traceability related to fish and shellfish imports. And in this rule proposal, the simple classification request complements that effort. And so that's all I have on that subject, Mr. Chair. Any questions?
Thank you. Thanks for the presentation. I applaud you for the effort of taking this on. Clearly the feds have regulatory authority here, but as you know, and as we all know, there is not a lot of federal presence here in Washington. So this is a great idea to help, moving this, because this is a big problem, and it does affect not only the Bering Sea crabbers, but as you pointed out, the crab industry as a whole, our Dungeness crab fishery. So this is a great idea. I would urge the commission to approve this.
What process, I don't know if it's for you, Mike, or for Bill, what process do we need to go through on behalf of this issue? As far as supporting it, do we have to... You just wanting a motion, or you wanted? Do we have to create a WAC, or what's the next?
Yes, sir. We need to add. Okay. We need to add three species. Sorry, which have been defined. It should be a. There should be a 101.
So you can bring us something.
Should be a 103. Is
okay.
It?
Next meeting will approve.
Okay.
This is just the briefing at this point. And public hearing, yes, sir.
There's a lot of nodding going up and down.
Sorry, I wasn't sure Bill was going to.
He's being non-vocal. Yes.
Are these actual species or are they subspecies of king crab? And the reason I'm asking is whether or not it would make any difference in the rulemaking. Which maybe is
my understanding is that there's, and I vetted this with Mr. Childers and Don Mr. Don Rothus to make sure that we had the species names correct. I actually had to. This is how squared away some of my folks are. I sent this out for review and. The king crab photo that I had originally, I thought it was a red king crab, but it was a subspecies that's much spinier and comes from the Argentina fishery. So the photo that he actually figured this, statewide investigative unit lieutenant figured that out, and so he kept me from embarrassing myself and using the right photo. But
well, maybe you wanted one that was from another fishery.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Deputy Chief. That was very informative, and we'll look forward to taking action on that in the next meeting. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, there again, I guess I was leading away. Back to your charter stamps, and I guess this is coming from my perspective because I do quite a bit of out-of-state hunting with guides, and it's always you produce a license or they make certain that you have one before you even much more than step foot on a boat or grab a rifle to go hunting. And that's why I was going to say you're almost being charitable to them because, I mean, they're professionals. They should be expected to act like professionals. And proper licensing and tags are just part of the deal.
Thank you, Commissioner. I agree. And the charter industry, both from the coast and Puget Sound, showed up with a lot of support behind this. They don't want to see the charter stamp program abused. They recognize that it's an efficient means of issuing a license instead of hoping that a customer does that work, becomes licensed before they show up. They don't have the cumbersome task of a kiosk type setup, you know, where you've got a line of folks and you have to enter all their information that's necessary to populate the data fields in Wild. And so they appreciate that we have this, and they also appreciate that the integrity needs to be maintained, and they're, as a group, as an industry, not gonna put up with abuses. So they sat in a room and helped us craft this and agreed to the penalty scheme, just like they helped us get the authority from the legislature to create the rule in the first place. So it was a team effort. Mr. Chair, I just wanted to mention with regard to the illegal importation issue, we did receive $25,000 from NOAA by way of a grant to focus some attention on these issues. And so that also sort of links to I-1401 and some things that we're doing there. So we're doing the best we can to try to bring in some additional financial resources, as well as clean up some of these, you know, the regulatory landscape, so that we have some leverage in that regard.
Is Alaska and Oregon having the same issue of, you know, port of entry?
Not that I'm aware of with this particular species. For some reason, I have my theories on why Washington ports of entry are accepting most of the U.S.'s imports of crab. But I can tell you that Alaska, as a state, is very concerned about, yeah, you know, this issue.
Where does NOAA Seafood Inspection come in on this? Are you coordinating all this activity with them?
So we're coordinating it with NOAA OLE, sir, and not the Seafood Inspection Program.
Okay.
We can talk offline about this, but my sense of that program is more consumer safety than, you know, the origin of the product and whether it was poached and accounted for. So if you see a nexus there that I'm missing with their inspection program.
The only nexus would be related to your comment about transshipment from a Russian IUU into South Korea, where, right, South Korea is apparently the focal point of, I know, the seafood inspection people, because they have to certify where that stuff is coming from, and they're having difficulty in doing so because there are transshipment points and labels get changed, and it's a really tough issue.
Good point. That's why we need to spend some time scoping this to make sure we have all the right partnerships. But we did meet with a non-governmental organization that I won't mention, only because, frankly, they're concerned about some of the players in all this. That gave us an incredible amount of intelligence and great places to start. NOAA OLE, obviously, understands we have a problem here. That's why they gave us some seed money to look deeper. And I didn't think about the seafood inspection program component. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay.
We need to talk to them.
See, you're so popular, we don't let you go. We just keep you there asking you questions. Well, thank you, Deputy Chief.
Thank you, sir.
And